Welcome to Behind the Bar Show. I'm your host, Tim, Mr. Martini Morrison. This week, I'd like to continue on with bitter liqueurs, as well as lots of listener feedback. During our break, we'll feature a quote from Humphrey Bogart. So let's just jump right in, shall we? Hello again, my fellow cocktail enthusiasts, and welcome to our 36th episode. It definitely seems like I have a lot of listener feedback this time around, so let's just jump right in there. I'd like to start off with a story. If you listened to episode 35, then you heard me mention the slanted door at the Ferry Building in San Francisco. Well, I went back there to meet up with a friend who was on his way into the city by ferry, and we chose to meet up at the slanted door. So I got there first and went ahead and bellied up to the bar. And there were about 3 seats left at the bar. I walked up, took the seat on the left, and as soon as I sat down, I saw the bartender, Tim, there, looked over at me, and I said, "Hey, Tim, same name kind of thing." He remembered me from the last time I was there. He said, let me remember, a Sazerac cocktail, right? And so I said, "Yep, that sounds good." So he was about to start making my Sazerac. A lady and a gentleman came by and sat down the 2 seats next to me. And, you know, it happens to all of us. You get caught up in something else that's happening. And the bartender wasn't thinking at the time. He was, you know, he was talking to somebody and was grabbing the bottles. He already set the 2 bottles on the table, the rye whiskey and the absinthe that they were going to use. And he ended up putting a little bit of whiskey in the glass, swirled it and dumped it, and then put a whole shot's worth of absinthe into the glass with the bitters and the sugar to make my Sazerac, which is of course complete opposite. I'm trying to get his attention, but he doesn't hear me at this point. And I have to admit, I also thought it was quite funny. Luckily, you know, before he started shaking it, he grabbed his jigger and he smelled it and, something's not right. Dumped the whole thing in the into the sink. Well, it was at that time the lady next to me goes, you know, everyone's laughing, and she's like, "That's interesting. What exactly are you trying to make?" And, you know, when I had to mention to her, I leaned over and went, "Oh, the Sazerac cocktail." She's like, "Oh, is it for you?" And I'm like, "Well, I hope so." And then she said, "You know, it's funny that we actually had a recommendation to come here and try the Sazerac." I think a big lump grew in my throat all of a sudden, and I kind of looked over and was like, "From where?" She's like, "A podcast." So I had to ask. I was like, "Wouldn't happen to be Behind the Bar Show, would it?" And lo and behold, it was. And she said, "Yes, exactly." And I'm like, "Well, hi, Tim Morrison. Nice to meet you." So it was an absolute pleasure to meet Sandy and Herbert. We had a nice long discussion while we were there. We talked about cocktails. She tried a Sazerac cocktail. I do believe she enjoyed it. I was happy to see that she enjoyed the cocktail as much as I did. I also let them try the Aviation. I had the Aviation there at Slanted Door, and they did a perfect job of that. And an Aviation is gin, lemon juice, and maraschino liqueur. And it came out absolutely perfect. So I had a lot of fun. I was quite lifted up and humbled at the same time to actually bump into somebody who mentioned my show. So it was great. We kind of made a mention to the bartender that, you know, she was like, you know, they were there on my recommendations. The next thing you know, we have a round of drinks on the bartender. So you can't go wrong there. But Sandy and Herbert, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you two. Vince in Napa emailed to say he looks forward to every show and wanted to say he liked the way I explained Cinco de Mayo. Being a proud Mexican himself, he said, "You'd be surprised how many people ask him if it's Mexican Independence Day." So thank you, Vince, for the email. Hello, Hafiz from Singapore. And thank you for the email, and to Jimbo in New Zealand, cheers, mate. Jimmy asked, how is the best way to remember all the cocktails in history? Well, Jimmy, I believe to really remember all this information, you must first be as crazy about the subject as I am, or just crazy, and as I am, and then constantly read on the subject and make the drinks. Doing this show helps me remember a lot of the information because I'm constantly talking about it. You mentioned that you've been in the industry for about 8 years, and you find it difficult to remember the history when you don't get a chance to educate people on the classics. Well, as a bartender, you actually have the perfect opportunity to educate people. Find out what drinks your patrons order the most, and then study on the history of that drink if available. Then the next time they order that drink, you can share that tidbit of information. Some people may think you're crazy, but you know, some may really enjoy seeing you know the history of their favorite drink, and who knows, that could turn into extra tips. So thank you for the email. Hello, James in Carolina. James asked for a beer number two show. I'll see what I can do. As you know, I'm more of a spirits man myself, but we'll see. I'm well aware. I've mentioned all kinds of show ideas on previous shows, which I haven't gotten to yet. I think my list of ideas grows faster than my ability to make them. James also mentioned he is visiting San Francisco in November and wanted to know what bar establishments I would recommend. If any of my listeners out there will be visiting San Francisco soon and would like my recommendations on places to go for a great cocktail, feel free to email me behindthebarshow@gmail.com and I'll be sure to share my thoughts. Helen in Woodland Hills, California. Hello there. Helen's email made my day. She wanted to give me a before and after example of how much she enjoys my show. Before Mr. Martini, they had friends over and decided to make margaritas. They used triple sec, tequila, and lime juice, but didn't know how much of each that they should use. They came up with something that was quite drinkable, but they didn't know what the traditional margarita was. The funny thing was, they actually had a bottle of Cointreau, which they used to poach fish. After Mr. Martini, they used their new shot glass to make the recipe I gave on my show, and then they mixed them up in their new shaker. It made a margarita that was truly enjoyable. She felt like a pro doing it, and cannot wait for her friends to come over and allow her to make a margarita and wow them. So thank you very much, Helen. This really makes me happy and humbled at the same time. Be sure to let me know what your friends think of your new margaritas. Hello, Jessica. Thank you for your feedback on the last Bitters episode. Jessica says she enjoyed the cooking tie-in with the Bitters, and after hearing my episode, she decided to add some Angostura Bitters to a jerk spice marinade, and it turned out wonderful. You know, I'm so glad you gave it a shot. It is a truly wonderful thing to use with food. She also wanted to recommend a wonderful book she found in a garage sale back when she was in high school called The Fine Art of Mixing Drinks by David A. Embry. Jessica, you couldn't have found a better book than that. It is definitely a wonderful book to have, and it is probably my favorite book in my entire collection. I am also a major admirer of David Embry's work. He gave me the strength to stand as a cocktail enthusiast and continue to do this show. Even in the beginning, when I would get feedback from people saying that if I wasn't a real bartender behind a bar somewhere, then they didn't care what I had to say, as I was no authority. I always let the content of my show speak for itself, and for David Embry to be a cocktail enthusiast who never worked in the alcohol industry or behind a bar, and still become one of the highest regarded mixologists in the world, definitely gives me a rock to stand on. So thank you for that email. I received an email from Jason about Pernod. He left the bottle in the fridge overnight and now is more opaque and full of shiny little particles like tiny confetti. He wanted to know if I thought the Pernod was still okay once it went back to room temperature. So thank you for the question, Jason. As you know, we've already gone through this via email. but let me share this with the rest of the listeners. I mentioned to Jason that Pernod, Herb Saint, Absinthe, etc. are all full of essential oils from the herbs used to make it. These herbs are soluble in alcohol, but are temperamental about temperature and dilution. Even Cointreau will do the same thing due to the essential oils derived from oranges. Now, I decided to do an experiment. I placed two shot glasses in the fridge, one filled with Pernod and the other filled with Absinthe. In about just about 5 minutes, the Pernod was completely opaque, yellowish color. The Absinthe had a tiny haze to it, but still pretty much clear. After letting the Pernod sit on the counter to go back to room temperature, the cloudiness went away as the essential oils began soluble again. Now, after looking at my bottle of Pernod through a light, I noticed too that it had tiny specks in it. Some even gathered together at the bottom of the bottle to cause like a swirling pattern. Looking at my bottle of Absinthe, I could see that it was speck-free. My thought is that this is due to the distillation process, which can change the amount of particles from the herbs and spices that remain in the liquid. I also believe the essential oils may bind with the sugars in Pernod, causing these specks to become visible. This isn't really visible in real Absinthe because, in my opinion, of the amount of sugars. Absinthe is quite strong and bitter and must be sweetened and diluted. Pernod is already sweetened to make it more palatable to American tastes. Jason messages back to let me know that indeed his bottle of Pernod tastes fine, and thank you for the detailed information. Jason also had to mention it is hard to think of me as Tim after hearing Mr. Martini for so long. Well, I'm glad you like the nickname. In the beginning, I didn't want anyone to know who I was because I had no idea of the kind of positive response that I would be getting from doing this show. After being interviewed for newspaper articles, which require your real name, I figured, what the hell? Many mixologists I admire have nicknames, even though they use their real names. Like Robert Hess as Drink Boy, Dale DeGroff as King of Cocktails, Ted High as Dr. Cocktail, Jerry Thomas as Professor, and so on. So I am honored to carry the name Mr. Martini, and I'm honored that many continue to call me as such. Joe from Miami, Florida emailed and said he understands. I feel that most of what I know has already been broadcasted, but as a serious fan, he wanted to tell me it is quality, not quantity, and he agrees I shouldn't rush the shows. Take my time, keep going, and he'll be waiting patiently for each show. Thank you very much, Joe. Joe also asked if I ever got that portable bar I mentioned on a previous show. The bar was from barproducts.com. It is a very expensive bar, and to make sure he makes the most out of such a serious purchase, he wanted to know what I thought of it. I love it. It holds plenty of bottles in the speed rail. It has plenty of space for ice in the main bus bin, and four smaller bins along the side for my garnishes and to hold my wet shaker and glass. The side table service are perfect for my bitters bottles and salt sugar rimmer, along with other utensils. The top serving surface is the perfect height to place the drinks for your customers. It's sturdy, well made, goes together in minutes, and breaks down just as fast. It is a wonderful material that's simple to clean. I just love this bar. It's perfect for private bartending. Now, they say it will fit in any trunk. Well, it won't fit in my Mustang's trunk, so keep that in mind. It is a bit heavy, but I just heft it up into the back seat and then take it wherever I'm going. Has wheels in the handle, so you can just wheel it along when you have it flat on the ground. Two changes made. I put holes in the bus bin that holds my ice. I use a large Rubbermaid container under the bar to catch the dripping water as the ice melts. This keeps extra water out of my drinks. I also use the container underneath to toss whatever is in my shaker, as well as when I rinse out the shaker. Empty bottles go in there, anything really. It's like my wet sink when I'm at a place that doesn't have, where I don't have access to a sink next to me. And the best thing to rinse out your shaker with? Soda or seltzer water. The other change was to take a piece of hemmed black fabric and sew on Velcro, which attaches to the top and the bottom of the customer-facing side of the bar. It cleans up the look and blocks the holes looking into the middle of the bar and underneath where my dump container is. So thanks again for the email, Joe. Sherman in LA emailed as well to let me know he is starting to try a career as a bartender and recently found my podcast. Thank you for the email, Sherman, and I wish you the best of luck in your endeavors. Steve from San Francisco, bartender and musician, who is in a band named Mothman, thank you for your email. Steve sent me a couple of their songs, and I'm happy to say I'll be using a clip from one of their songs during the break today. Stay tuned for that, and I'll give more information on Mothman after the break. Finally, Jason in San Francisco emailed to let me know about a new absinthe being sold in the U.S. that has found a loophole in selling absinthe in the U.S. The website is drinklucid.com. It looks like it is currently only available in New York. As soon as I get an opportunity to go to New York, I'm going to get my hands on a bottle of Lucid, and I can try it, and then I'll report my findings back to the show. So, wow, that was a lot. Thank you for all the wonderful feedback. I also received a couple of voice messages, but sadly something happened to the system, and the audio files came through corrupt. The problem has been fixed, so please feel free to send those voice letters to 206-984-3227, which is easier to remember. It's 2069-THE-BAR. And is also listed on my website at www.behindthebarshow.com. So, to everyone, thank you. Okay, well, with how much time I spent on feedback, it seems I better go directly to our break. And then I'll get to finishing off with my bitters info, which I started during the May's episode. So, here we go. Meeting Sandy and Herbert, here's a fitting quote Sandy mentioned in her email after our chance meeting. I'm sure you know this quote. It's, "Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walked into mine." Humphrey Bogart. Like puzzles and pieces, I've got your position papers right here, right now. Do you want to go faster now, faster now, faster now? There you go. That music was a clip from a song called Faster Now from Mothman SF. You can hear more from their website at www.myspace.com/MothmanSF. They consider their music to be electronica, trip-hop, and new wave. Check out their site, listen to the songs they have available for streaming off their webpage, and then contact them and let them know what you think of their music. And be sure to tell them Mr. Martini sent you. Okay, so let's see. What about bitters did I not complete during the last show? Well, we went over Angostura, and we went over Peychaud's, and I mentioned a bit about Fee Brothers. On my website, I mentioned if you'd like to order Fee Brothers, or even better, Gary Regan's Orange Bitters number 6. You can click on the Kegworks logo at the top of my website to find some great bitters and even Peychaud's bitters as well. Well, I think I'd like to mention three other bitters that I've tried from Fee Brothers. There's the Peach, Mint, and Old Fashioned. Their Old Fashioned bitters is quite bitter, and unlike Angostura, which is bursting with all kinds of herbal and spice flavors, Fee's has one distinct flavor that jumps out at me, cinnamon. Now, I personally like it in a whiskey cocktail, which is just sugar, bitters, and a dash of water muddled, filled with ice, and then whiskey added. A lemon twist tops it off nicely. I really like the cinnamon bitter flavor in this drink. Actually, I remember I was at a bar some time ago and ordered a sidecar. The bartender wanted to rim the glass with sugar, but instead dipped it in their cinnamon sugar mixture used for an apple pie cocktail that they make there. He was about to grab a new glass when I told him to leave it that way. Call me curious. I was pleasantly surprised at the cinnamon flavor with the sidecar. Now, thinking back to that, I might actually try making a sidecar with Fee Brothers or Old Fashioned bitters in it. Sounds like a winner to me. I guess the real moral is to get a few bottles of bitters and experiment with your favorite drinks. You never know. You might just find that bitters makes your favorite drink even better. The next I'd like to mention is the peach bitters. You don't hear about peach bitters often, but it used to be used in many old recipes. Fee's bottle of peach bitters gives the recipe for the Greenbrier, which is a 2 ounce sherry, 1 ounce dry vermouth, and half a teaspoon of peach bitters, shaken with ice and strained into an ice-filled glass, garnished with a sprig of mint. Another recipe on the bottle is the Fox River, which is 2 ounce whiskey, half ounce brown creme de cacao, and 1 teaspoon peach bitters, stirred with ice and strained into a cocktail glass, and garnished with a lemon peel. Robert Hess created a drink that can be ordered at my favorite cocktail bar, the Zigzag Cafe in Seattle, called the Trident. Not only does this drink use peach bitters, but it also uses an Italian artichoke bitter liqueur called Cynar, spelled C-Y-N-A-R. The recipe for a Trident is 1 ounce dry sherry, 1 ounce Cynar, 1 ounce aquavit, and 2 dashes of peach bitters. Stir with ice and strain into a chilled cocktail glass and garnish with a lemon twist. Now, Cynar isn't a very popular bitter liquor, at least here in the States, and even I didn't like it when I first sipped it. Of course, I felt the same thing about other bitters like Fernet and Campari. In the Trident, though, the Cynar shows its merit and is a wonderful drink to try. Speaking of Robert Hess and peach bitters, he mentions on his website, drinkboy.com, that he also likes to add a dash or two of peach bitters to the top of a freshly made Bellini. Also check out Robert's last vodcast called Small Screen Network, where he did a show called Bitters and the Manhattan Cocktail. He too gives some great information on bitters, which backs up the information I gave on my last episode. One last drink I'll mention with peach bitters is the Royalist, which is 1.5 ounce dry vermouth, 3/4 ounce bourbon, and 3/4 ounce Benedictine, and a dash of peach bitters. Shake with ice and strain to a chilled cocktail glass. Now, the Royalist was created by one of the founders of the International Bartenders Association in 1951, named W.J. Tarling. If you were to dash Fee Brothers peach bitters onto a spoon and taste it, you'll notice it isn't really bitter at all, at least not as bitter as the other bitters that I've mentioned. It's a bit sweet with the flavor of peaches, and kind of reminds me of the flavored cough syrup my mother would give me when I was a child. Lastly, to wrap up the Fee Brothers bitters, I'd like to, at least those that I'd like to mention anyway, let's mention their mint bitters. It too isn't extremely bitter, although there is a little bit more bitterness to it than the peach. Of course, the massive slap in your face flavor is meant. Here's something excellent to try over ice cream. Or you can add it to your mojito or mint julep for more zing. Try it in a sour type drink and see how it changes the flavor. Now, I mentioned Chainar already, so let me say a bit more about that. It is first and foremost an artichoke-based liqueur that has been infused with about 13 other herbs. It is only 16.5% alcohol by volume. It is traditionally served on the rocks with club soda and a slice of orange. If you really let your creative juices flow, you could probably come up with some interesting recipes using it, like the drink I mentioned before, the Trident. Now, if you listen to all my shows, you know I've mentioned Campari a lot, especially due to the Negroni and the Americano. Like many herbal bitter liqueurs, its recipe is a carefully guarded secret. Like Chainar, it is usually drunk with seltzer, soda, or tonic, but of course, like many, when I think of Campari, I still think Negroni. Fernet Branca is an interesting one. To smell the bottle could make your eyes roll back in your head. On the first sip, you may think your lunge will come back to haunt you, and you cannot imagine why anyone would drink it. Even many of the websites online that are out there solely to praise Fernet and the brave drinkers are all full of full stories of from the biggest fans talking about how they couldn't stand Fernet the first time they had it. Here in San Francisco, Fernet Branca seems to have become a staple in the food and beverage industry. It's said that when bartenders, servers, and waiters get off work, many of them like to head to the bar for a Fernet and Gingerback, which is a shot of Fernet Branca chased by a glass of ginger ale. There are also a large following of individuals who believe that if you start off with a shot of Fernet and end your drinking night with a shot of Fernet, it will prevent a hangover the next morning. Makes me wonder how much they're drinking and what they're drinking in between those two shots. So just as I said with Campari, Fernet is also a very closely guarded recipe of 40 herbs and spices. We believe the base is a grape alcohol, and it contains myrrh, chamomile, cardamom, aloe, and saffron, believe it or not. And the rest of it is a mystery. I've also kind of read, I don't know how true this is, that since saffron is a very rare and very expensive type of spice, that Fernet uses so much saffron, they actually use about 75% of the saffron collected. So, it's kind of interesting. Well, I think that's going to end bitters at this point. I'm going to leave you now with a little bit more of Mothman. If you have questions or comments, feel free to email me at behindthebarshow@gmail.com or leave a voice letter at 2069-THE-BAR. That's area code 206-984-3227. And as always, cheers, drink responsibly, and don't drink and drive. I'm the one that you keep hidden in the special place where the light can't get in. What a good girl you've come to be. Let's talk about that. It's where I wanna be. I always wondered what